You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
We're back on FST. That's Fantasy Sports Today for the uninitiated. And thank you for joining us. Wherever you found us, this is hour number three via TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, the Fantasy Sports Radio app, which is free to download and free to listen, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you for joining us in hour number three. We've talked a whole bunch of football. We've talked a bunch of baseball. And we're going to turn the page, talk a little bit about the playoffs, because we have two playoff seasons that are upon us now. We'll talk hockey with Pete Considori at 11:20. But for now, we'll talk a little bit about hoops. Tony Sincotta coming up at the end of the hour at 11:40. He's going to talk about, frankly, whatever he wants. He has some sort of opinion about Italian-Americans. Tony's an Italian-American, so he has an opinion about Italian-Americans and their ineffectiveness in contributing to the country. It was sort of controversial, but obviously he said tongue-in-cheek, so we'll talk to him about that and all this other stuff. I want to hear about Dez and, hot takes extraordinaire, Tony Sincotta. But so let's talk a little bit about the hoops. I just spent a few minutes here on this. I love the NBA playoffs. I will freely admit, I do not get a chance to watch as much regular season NBA as I like. It's always on, and I always catch a game here or there. But I'm not dialed in because I don't play in any season-long NBA games. I don't really dial up DFS too much on the NBA side of things. But I always follow the league, and I'll freely admit I'm not as great of an expert as I have been in the past on the NBA. There's just too much going on with NFL and college football and college basketball, frankly, that which I cover, and I can't do as much in terms of the NBA. So, but I do love it, and this is a great time because this is when teams really get after it. Obviously, some injuries are going to impact teams this year with Kyrie Irving being out for the year. Sales could take out the Bucks, but, you know, after that, who knows? I'm surprised that you're dismissing the Bucks as much as easily as you did, though. Why don't you give them a real chance?
I have the Bucks winning this series.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So it's more so, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just I see the wrong people on Twitter. It just, it bothers me that people are not only going to pick the Celtics to win this series, but there will be people who pick the Celtics to win the next series. And if so, they'll probably say that the Celtics wouldn't be swept by the Cavs. And if the Celtics team loses to the Bucks, like I think they will then say, well, what in the world could you expect Brad Stevens to do? I just think that it's kind of like, it's almost like, you know, how you, I can never win. It's Brad Stevens can never lose. He can never do wrong. And he's incredible. He is one of the top five coaches in the NBA. I just want us to look at it through a fair and realistic prism. Because here's what I'll say in terms of the Bucks, right? If we compare the two best players that each team brings to the floor for this series, it's going to be Giannis versus Al Horford. It's a complete wash. Giannis is far superior. Then you look at their primary wings. That's going to be Jabari Parker and Chris Middleton versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You can make an argument either way. I might lean Middleton and Parker, though. And then it's Eric Bledsoe versus Terry Rozier for the starting point guard position. I think most people would probably take Bledsoe. Celtics fans probably would take Rozier because they absolutely love him. My point kind of is, I actually think that him losing to the Bucks is fair. But part of the reason why I think the Bucks could win is because Stevens hasn't done enough postseason to have me go, oh yeah, he's got this. Like, I'm going to give Popovich a pair of games against the Warriors because Pop's earned that. I think that the reason why the Cavs, above all else, should be able to get to the finals is because LeBron's earned that. Brad Stevens, to me, has not earned that. And I actually think that the Bucks, what they've done this year, is massively underachieved. And they can lose this game because they are a horrible rebounding team. Maybe the only team in the entire Eastern Conference that can't take advantage of the lack of rebounding that the Celtics have.
And they're not good defensively either.
Right. They will not execute. They should not execute at the way that the Celtics will. But I think the Bucks are actually the more talented team. And I just think that, honestly, Giannis should be able to go out there 35-5 series average, no problem.
Yeah, but look, I'm looking at some predictions from various websites, CBS right now. They all have the Celts winning, but in six or seven games. And mm-hmm. I think making a seven-game prediction in a series like this means that you're not really that sure.
Right.
This wouldn't surprise me at all if the Bucks won this, but there are issues with this team, as you just pointed out. It will take MVP-level Giannis, and even if he plays that way, it doesn't guarantee that they'll win the four games requisite to move to the next round. And I don't think many teams would give them a shot in the next round either, regardless. Who would it be? They would play Philly. Toronto then, right?
No. They'd play.
Wouldn't it reseed?
No, they don't reseed. It's bracket.
So it'd be Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. So I suppose they'd have a shot there, but Philly's also the hottest team in the league.
They just blew them out by 40.
Yeah, and if Embiid, is back and healthy and all that kind of stuff, I don't like anybody's chances against them except the Cavs. I would like the Sixers over Toronto, but the Cavs have a guy that's pretty good, so I don't like to pick against them ever. I will pick against the Cavs when they lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's been enough times in a row with LeBron that I'm not picking against them. So why would I do that? It's a bad bet.
I'm
to pick against it.
I'm often kind of told that I allow everything to revolve around LeBron too much. I can always find a way to make a connection. I mean, to me, it's just, and again, we've had this discussion before, and I'm not looking to get into the greatest player of all time. Certainly, though, for me, it's by far the best player I've ever seen. And it's just, there are constant things that prove it. Like, Giannis is a top 10 player, right?
Yes, you were born in the 90s, though.
Yeah, so no. I'm not.
A fair argument for me to make.
I'm just saying, I said best player I've seen. Right, I didn't. I'm not even going to go down the rabbit hole of goats. I'm not even going to do that. Just best player I've seen. The rest of the stuff maybe another day. But you would say Giannis is a top 10 player in the NBA, right?
Yes.
And most people have the Celtics as the favorites. Switch only Giannis and LeBron. I think the overwhelming prediction would be Bucks in four. That is still the gap that exists between what is a clear top 10 player and LeBron James.
Agreed. So here's what I would say too. I'm closer with you on the LeBron thing, by the way, than maybe other guys my age. And there's a lot of LeBron haters out there, and I think it clouds a lot of people's judgment regarding him. I never quite understand it, but some people hated Michael Jordan too. So whatever, I hated Michael Jordan because he was beating the Knicks all the time, not because he wasn't good. Yeah. I just feel the same way about LeBron. I think LeBron's the best player I've ever seen, with only one exception.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could really make the argument based on workload and versatility and all that other kind of stuff that LeBron is as good or better. Now, you're going to talk about, I'll put a bow on it here because I don't want to get into a Michael Jordan LeBron thing. Michael Jordan's rate of success in winning titles is tremendous. And I don't want to get into Bill Russell and all that stuff too, but I think that's the separating part for me at this point. It's why I don't put LeBron above Jordan, but that's how I feel about LeBron. So just to clarify that, as you said last week, you asked me like, who do you think the MVP should be? And I think it's LeBron every year. They just don't give it to him sometimes. They just didn't give it to Michael Jordan sometimes. So in any event, let's get through. So that's the Bucks-Celts. Toronto and the Wizards, you said that John Wall being back could change the dynamic of that series, but you do expect Toronto to win, correct?
I have Toronto in seven. John Wall hasn't played the Raptors this year, so that kind of puts it into perspective just how unhealthy he's been, and the fact that the Wizards are an 8 seed certainly has something to do with that. To me, the one thing that is actually even... Ultimately, I took them in seven because I think that their home court matters, and they have a far superior bench. Like, the Raptors have the best bench in the NBA. I know that was regular season, but it still was the best bench in the NBA this year, and the Wizards are average at best. The one thing, and I don't know if you saw this, but it was the Kyle Lowry quote where he said, game one is game seven for us. The Raptors do not need any more pressure on themselves.
I would agree. I would say that if I were him.
They are going up against a team that it is very realistic for them to lose to, and it is well documented that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan have playoff struggles. So to go out there and say basically game one is game seven, if you lose, you're done? Because I'm not ruling it out. John Wall has looked really good since coming back. Ultimately, I think that this could really be a home team wins every game, Raptors in seven. That's what I have it as. But they absolutely could go out there, because the thing is, the Wizards have the confidence. One of the things that works in, you know, the way in the NBA, I think it's part of the reason why teams have been able to knock off the Warriors without Steph regular season, is they feel like it's more likely they can do it without him there. The Wizards absolutely have the confidence that they can beat the one seed. They know it. They feel like they have the better backcourt. They feel like they have the star players. They feel like they can do it. So if they go out there and win game one, they've now stolen home court, and all of a sudden the Raptors just basically admitted that they lost a game that they were treating as a game seven.
Agreed. Let's flip it over to the Western Conference, because we'll get in a couple of more series before we get like predictions and all that kind of stuff. So what about the Thunder Jazz series? That seems to be the one of the eight playoff series that people are most torn on.
It is, and I'm not torn on it at all. I think the Thunder are going to blow them out, in all seriousness. I have the Thunder in five. I just think that this is a horrible matchup. I think, to me, listen, defense is important, but it is so drastic how dependent the Jazz are on their defense to win games. And I don't necessarily know that they're going to be able to stop Westbrook. He'll average a triple-double in this series with ease. I think there could be a Carmelo Anthony game in there somewhere. And I think that Paul George is absolutely going to create nightmares for Donovan Mitchell. Like, as much as Paul George is going to be able to give you 20, but he is going to give a real problem to Donovan Mitchell. And I just don't know where the points come from. And the fact that the Thunder were actually able now to have home court coming into this series because of that regular season finale between the Jazz and the Blazers, I just don't see the Jazz being able to have enough offense to take the series.
Yeah, it is a problem when the rookie is your primary scorer, as great as Donovan Mitchell is. And I'm of the opinion, I've been swayed really over the course of the last week, because Ben Simmons is going to win Rookie of the Year. But some people feel like it should go to a first-year player, that, yes, he didn't play any games last year, but he had the benefit of acclimating to the NBA, whereas Donovan Mitchell is truly a rookie.
Then Donovan should have left after his freshman year.
Yeah, but Donovan Mitchell is a rookie. He's their primary scorer. Great defensive team, the Jazz, and they finished the season. I mean, this is crazy, the season. And people are talking about how hot Philly is. The Jazz ended the season 29-6.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy how great they've played in the last basically 3 months. I want to pick the Jazz, but I think I'm with you. I think the Thunder will outlast them. Even if it goes 6-7 games, I think the Thunder outlast them. It's a little too difficult to find out where the offense comes if they clamp down on a rookie, which they could do. I mean, a rookie coming into a playoff series like that would have to be transcendent in order for him to win it. There's plenty of guys that are superstars in the league right now and didn't just take over a playoff series in their rookie seasons. Giannis is one guy that comes to mind. Like he didn't just blow through the league. As soon as he came in and start winning playoff series, it's really hard to do.
It's also the matchup. Like, if they would have gotten the Blazers, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard aren't plus defenders. If they would have gotten the Spurs, DeJounte Murray's a really, really, really good defender. He might make an All-NBA defensive team. But I think Donovan Mitchell can get his. He's going up against Paul George. He is not better than Paul George at offense or defense. And the fact of the matter is, Paul George is going to be carrying a less of a load offensively than what Donovan Mitchell is. Like, I really think that this series it could go really poorly for Donovan Mitchell. And he is clearly the second best rookie, clearly deserves second place in the rookie year. He's been great. He is the Dwayne Wade comparisons. I love Dwayne Wade. And I don't even think they're that outrageous. I think that he is going to be in for a nightmare of a series.
Blazers Pelicans is the one you said you are most interested in watching. Do you have the Blazers winning that? I can't remember what you said earlier.
I've got the Pelicans in seven. Ultimately, I just think in a winner take all setting, I think I'm just going to go with the best player, because here's kind of the
I'm with you on that.
Here's the difference for me.
The problem is Dame Lillard has been really close to MVP as well.
Sure. This is what I look at it as, right? The guard matchups. Jrue Holiday and Rondo are not better than Lillard and McCollum, but they will get theirs. And I think that Jrue Holiday and Rondo are a pair that can actually kind of rely on their defense. And again, as I mentioned just before, Lillard and McCollum are not plus defenders. So I take the Blazers backcourt, but it's not by a big margin. The Blazers don't have any...
By the way, it's also national TV Rajon Rondo, which is a different level of Rajon
National
Rondo.
TV Rondo, playoff Rondo, probably revenge Rondo, because people counted him out. I mean, this might be the best player when I talk about best player on the Pelicans. But ultimately, too, There's nothing even near an answer for Anthony Davis on that Blazers roster. Nurkic has no chance. Al-Farouq Aminu has no chance. I think, and I'm really not trying to be a hot take guy here, I think he scores 30 every game, and I would not be, I think he gets 50 in one of them. I think he's going to be that dominant.
That would be interesting. Fun to watch, too, because it's fun to see him, you know, finally kind of getting in a groove again, where he can, you know, a couple of years ago he got hurt and they didn't know what this Pelicans team was going to look like.
Yeah.
Granted, they got a tough road to hoe in the Western Conference, but at the same time, it's fun to see him kind of rising to the level of being a top three player in the NBA.
Absolutely.
But, so Western Conference. Western. We won't do the championship stuff now, but Western Conference finals, how do you think that's going to shape up? Is that just Rockets Warriors collision course?
It is, but more so because the Warriors actually got their perfect path. I really believe that. Like, the Spurs don't have the talent to do it. I don't think Anthony Davis is enough to go past the Warriors, and if the Pelicans lost that series, it's like Lillard and McCollum every year, just like destined to lose to the Warriors. I really think that, as much as I just said that the Thunder are going to really take the Jazz to task, I think that the Jazz would have been a tougher matchup for the Warriors. I think that I personally, if it were 7-2, Thunder at 7, I would have picked the Thunder to beat the Warriors if they were playing in this first round. I think this the path worked out perfectly for Golden State, and I think Houston is terrific. I can't stress that enough.
And Sixers, Cavs in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, that's how I see that shaking out.
Yeah, I agree. But I could see a couple of upsets happening here, less so in the Western Conference, more so in the Eastern Conference. There's a little bit more unpredictability in my mind. So we'll talk with Tony Cicada. No, we're going to talk with Pete Considori. Hockey next. Me, Kevin, and Pete talking ice hockey.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today, Mike and Kevin, Tony Cicada coming up in 20 minutes. Why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and pay half the rake on Fantasy Draft, featuring half the rake GPP and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game. Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They're also the only site to offer 6 of 7 PGA scoring, so you drop your lowest golfer score. Register today with the fantasy, with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field. So,
Mike, can I ask a quick question? I know we got to get to
Pete.
It just something just came across my feed. It was it's the Warriors numbers with Curry and without. With Curry, 41-10. Plus 9.7 point differential. Without Curry, they're 17-14, and they are minus 0.2 point differential. It's just kind of jarring. I'm just curious, because I know that they're without Curry, and the Rockets have their star players kind of have negative playoff stigmas around them.
What is the prognosis on Steph Curry?
Absolutely out round one, hopeful for round two.
I think that's hopeful for round two is not good. It's not the language you want to hear. But there's two factors here. One, yes, people always overrate dynasties in the moment. I want to put the Patriots aside for a minute, and maybe even the Spurs. But typically, these dynasties are short-lived due to injury. Steph Curry, I believe, has 17 ankle injuries in his career. And other guys could get hurt too. I think it's tough to stay motivated. You know, the Warriors are always going to regret that loss to the Cavs because it really should have been a situation where they were winning back to back and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that it's tough to stay motivated. I think they're probably tired too, you know, because they're playing in, when you're playing to the finals every year, that's the amazing thing about LeBron, right? The number of games that he plays every year and he comes back and he just does it again. I think that gets difficult. But given this scenario, I do think that it's okay for me to expect Kevin Durant to go take it up another level in a playoff series. He has, we have seen him do that in the past, and I think he can do that. So for round one, that's why I'm not largely concerned.
What I wanted, no, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. I think that's why I think they get to the conference finals, because I think that they can beat those teams without him. Would you be more surprised to see the Warriors upset or the Rockets upset in round one?
I'll guess the Rockets, just because they have a full complement of players. I mean, you gave me the statistic from the Warriors. It's telling that they do struggle to some extent without Steph, but I don't expect, I mean, we're talking, you know, you made me choose, so that's why I'm picking them, but I don't expect it.
It just, it's more so kind of perspective, I think. It's just the fact that this team, you know, oh, maybe they'll beat their 73 win total. This team should blow through, not lose a game in the playoffs this time around. And it's just the way things have kind of worked out. It's kind of jarring. And I just, even that pause was enough, even if you would have said Warriors, to just kind of put into perspective how unguaranteed things can really be within sports, where everything seems like an absolute lock. There is a world where Greg Popovich and LaMarcus Aldridge dominates and the Spurs somehow win this series in six. It's not the world that I think will happen, not what Mike thinks will happen, not what most people think would happen. The other day I saw Greg Sussman rip up the Spurs car and say that the Warriors will sweep him in four. Good for him. It's possible. I just think that there is actually a realistic chance where the Golden State Warriors are actually done in round one. And it's why
as a fan, at the end of the day, you and I are fans. And when I put this in, and I'm, you know, I'm less, I'm more impartial than I used to be, obviously. I think that comes with age and also what I do here on the show. But I think when you get to the final four of whatever sport it is we're talking about, you need to win. You're good enough to win. You got to upset somebody and you got to take advantage of it. So that's why when you get there and you lose and that you're in that final four, you got to be bummed because you were close.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Jaguars in the playoffs this year, they could have beaten the Patriots. They could have. If they played a little better in the last 10 minutes of that game, they win. And then they're in the Super Bowl and anything can happen.
Absolutely.
So whether it's college basketball or the NFL or the NHL playoffs, which we're going to talk about in a minute, or the NBA playoffs, like, you're good enough. You got there. Yeah, sometimes there's big differentials. And, like, do you really think the Eagles are 30 points better than the Vikings? No, they just – Vikes had a bad day.
Yep.
You know? Like, you just got to take advantage. But in any event – I've been using that phrase a lot, so I'll try and use a different transitional phrase than in any event. But we'll bring Pete Considori in here because we're going to talk hockey. And I watched some highlights. I didn't dive in on the games. I was watching baseball and other stuff last night. I watched the Andre the Giant documentary last night, too. I saw the second half of it. And I am not a wrestling fan, but in the 80s, I was a kid, and I watched it. And that was a lot of fun, that documentary. You're left feeling a little... I'm a huge fan of documentaries when it comes to sports documentaries. Kind of marries my two of my favorite things. And you're left feeling sad for him, but it was really enjoyable. And I think it shows off how beloved he was by fans and by people that knew him well. So that's a quick aside, a recommendation to watch that. So, Pete, let's come in. I watched some highlights last night. Amazing bounce back by the Flyers. They take the game 5-1. Looks like they thoroughly outplayed the Penguins. Crosby was constantly frustrated. And this is two nights after they got annihilated 7-0. The Flyers goalie plays much better. And this series looks a lot different than it did two nights ago. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Penguins, I think, got a little too comfortable with that blowout win of 7-0, and I think they were kind of on their heels last night. The Flyers came back pretty strong, being embarrassed in Pittsburgh, so they decide to give Elliott the nod, which I think was the right decision. Elliott was coming off a injury. One of the first games back here was this playoff game. He didn't do so hot. The whole team as a whole didn't do so hot. The coach gives him the nod, says, all right, let's get it back. They do, and I think they worked hard. I think the Flyers worked hard, got this win, but I don't think the Flyers get more than one other win in this round. I think the Penguins take this six games.
Is it one of those situations where now they kind of refocus? I mean, it has to be difficult where, I mean, you're the favorites to win a series. You have the best player on the ice with Crosby. You go out there and you perform at that level. Is that simply what it was, though? The Penguins are just kind of like, oh, this is a wrap. This will be...
Oh, I believe absolutely. I mean, Sidney Crosby had another goal where he batted in out of midair. This time, the shot was coming from the point. It got deflected, was coming towards Sidney Crosby. He decided to give it a little extra, almost like he was swinging the bat for a baseball, and he gets it right in. So you're right. Sidney Crosby was frustrated last night, as Mike was saying. I do think... After that blowout win, 7-0, they go, all right, we got this in the bag. They were caught on their heels a little bit, but now we're going to see them refocus and go, all right, enough is enough. We need to play hard. And we also see that in the Nashville-Colorado game that had passed. Colorado was giving them a run for their money. It was 2-2, 2-1 at one point. Colorado was leading, and Nashville said, oh, we actually have to play hard here, even though it's the first round against the Colorado Avalanche, who last season did absolutely nothing. So to your point, yes, they're going to wake up, refocus. I don't see the Flyers winning one more game. Only one more game is probably what they're going to be getting.
Kind of amazing accomplishment that the Avalanche even made it into the playoffs this year after how abysmal they were last year. I remember George and I talking about that constantly last year. So a question in this Jets-Wild series, because the Jets go up 2-0, and there were scenes last night of the fans outside the stadium that looked really cool, because as packed as the stadium was inside, there was as many fans outside going crazy watching it on the big boards. And they now have a 2-0 lead, but this game was really chippy, and the last 15 seconds it broke down. It was a melee, multiple fights. Why do these teams dislike each other so much, or is this just the old term, it's playoff hockey?
You know, I think this is more of the it's playoff hockey. I think the Winnipeg Jets were really underrated coming into this series. Even though they've been so dominant, I think it was just the stigma of, oh, it's the Jets. What are they, you know, how far can we go? The whiteout in the stadium, which is incredible. Everyone wears their white jerseys,
awesome.
White t-shirts. They have the white towels. They now go to Minnesota for the next two games. Patrick Laine, actually, as he was skating across the bench, kind of played the violin with his hockey stick. I think everyone's kind of getting on each other's nerves, trying to see who's gonna crack next, and I think that's what we saw at the end of the game last night. This could be the start of a really great rivalry between the Jets and the Wild, but I think it's just playoff hockey, and everyone's trying to get underneath everyone's skin. I have Winnipeg beating the Wild pretty easily here, because I think Winnipeg is a great team. I don't think the Wild get more than two games in this series either. I think it's going to be a six-game win for the Jets.
Let's then go to that other game. I mean, the Golden Knights, I don't know why, but I've decided to take the other approach, because I just can't believe how openly they have been accepted with open arms by every single fan base, it seems like, in the NHL. Like, nobody hates them. Nobody's bothered that this team got put together in the expansion draft and is one of the better teams in hockey. So I've been like, you know what? No, but they're up 2-0. You love Vegas too, right?
I am a big Vegas
fan.
This
is nonsense.
Well, let me explain it to you. This expansion draft took a lot of great players from a lot of great teams.
You should be even more upset then.
I'm upset for the players. The players have a chip on their shoulder. They're trying to prove something. You have James Neal, Marc-Andre Fleury, William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault. Getting pulled from their Nate Schmidt from the Capitals, all getting pulled from their teams because they weren't protected, and everyone was going, oh, well, it's an expansion team. They're not going to do well. Well, now they're proving everyone wrong, and I think the story alone is what resonates in NHL fans. I don't think it's, oh, well, this guy got pulled from this team. I'm going to hate the Vegas Golden Knights because it's almost like an all-star team. It's not. They still have their holes in their play, but I have to say this. Last night's game shows how dominating and how dangerous the Vegas Golden Knights can be. Now, they're not high scoring. It's not like a 7-3 game. It's not a 4-2 game. It's these past two games has been 1-0 and 2-1. This double overtime victory has shown that the Vegas Golden Knights can hang on with a team like the Kings going against Jonathan Quick, who is by far one of the best goaltenders in the league right now. The Vegas Golden Knights' speed and now their physicality is coming out. I've picked them to go to the conference final, and a lot of people say, oh, no, you're crazy. They're not going to get past the Kings or the Ducks or the San Jose Sharks, whoever's in the second round. They have shown that they can compete. Last night they didn't have Drew Doughty, the Kings, because he got a suspension for a hit, a little high hit on, I forgot the guy's name, I feel embarrassed now, but it was a high hit. Drew Doughty gets a suspension, so he did not play in last night's game. So the Kings definitely held them off. What worries me about the Knights is the scoring aspect. They're only getting two goals. They need Neal, they need Marchessault, they need Holla, they need all Carlson to step up and actually get the scoring going, because if they keep getting these only one goal games, the Kings are going to figure out how to play them and score more.
So, quick question before I ask my next one. Who do you have the Knights playing in the Western Conference Finals?
Nashville Predators. Yeah.
Okay. And do they reseed?
No, it's a bracket.
Okay. Just double checking.
I think it'd be better if they reseeded. I know that but
they should in the NHL playoffs, because there's far more upsets in the NHL playoffs than there are.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I have the second round being the Predators versus the Winnipeg Jets, and that is going to be an intense series to watch.
Looking forward to that if it happens. But I would also say with the Knights, you know, it reminds me of – so when the NFL expanded with the Panthers and the Jaguars, they did make it a little easier on those franchises to build up. And they had success quickly. The Panthers were in the NFC Championship game in their second season in 96, I believe it was. And the Jaguars were in the AFC Championship game within a couple of years as well and making the playoffs regularly. And then what happened was when the NFL expanded to bring a team back to Cleveland after the Ravens moved and then to Houston, they're like, we're not doing this again. Because we gave those teams too much of an advantage. And the Browns were terrible. One could argue they've been terrible since 1999. They made the playoffs, I believe, just the one time in 2002. And the Houston Texans were miserable. And it ruined David Carr's career. He was the number one overall pick on this expansion team. I think the reason for my explaining all this is I think there's can be a happy medium. You don't have to make the team terrible. And you don't have to make them full of legit players from other teams, but maybe this is a good thing because Pete's energized by it. The NHL is energized. NHL fandom is energized by it. Right?
I think this is a great product. Now, just to explain something, the NHL expansion draft this year was very, very deep. There was a lot of unprotected free agents that the teams around the league thought that they could get back that, you know, you have to understand they have to go by salary cap too. So they had, you know, who would have thought they would have picked Fleury, Neal, Marchessault. So they kind of probably bluffed a little bit and like, oh, we're not going to protect him because we want to protect other assets. But also,
you
they
only
had
protected 10 players, right, for per team.
Right. So my point is, let's bring it to Seattle because Seattle is pretty close to having that expansion team. The unrestricted free agent pool in 2018-2020 is not going to be that great. So I don't think Seattle is going to have the success that the Golden Knights are having. So I think it depends on, too, what kind of, you know, draft class you'll have, what kind of GM you have, because they have George McPhee, who's probably arguably the best GM in the NHL. His name's all over the place. So, you know, I think the Golden Knights got lucky with this draft class, and I think George McPhee took advantage of it.
Pete. Are we looking at Crosby taking this again? Because that's kind of the thing that I'm looking at here, and it's I've come to realize that Crosby feels very. I think I said this last time. Crosby feels very LeBron to me, where people hated him, and then he just beat him into submission. And they're like, ah, that guy's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I hated him because he's a rival. I knew he was really good. I respected that he was really good. I still do. It's tough. A lot of people have him going for a three-peat. A lot of people have him going to the Stanley Cup. I just don't, you know, it for the Flyers to bounce back like this, and you know what, Matt Murray also concerns me because if he gets hurt, they have no backup. There's really nothing to go to. If Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby are suffocated and they're not going to be scoring, you know, you really don't have that much other options, a lot of weapons on the team. So I think the Penguins could be beaten. I don't have them passing the second round.
But you are asking a team to suffocate the best line in the NHL, aren't you?
Well, it's spread out. It's not one line. It's spread out between three lines. So one player could shadow one if you think about it. They could switch it up, obviously, and have two on one line, whatever. But you're right. I mean, when you think of it that way, yeah, it's tough. But if you can get them to stop scoring and let's say I'm talking about Columbus now. I think they're going to be fine with the Flyers. But when they face Columbus, because I don't have the Capitals leaving the first round either. I think Columbus is just going to tear them apart.
Yeah, so a lot of action today. Devils Lightning at 3. This is Eastern time. Avalanche Preds, Leafs Bruins, Sharks Ducks, Penguins. That's it for today. Penguins play the Flyers tomorrow. But 4 games in action today. Good stuff. So for all you NHL fans, Pete's our guy. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And we'll come back with Tony Cincotta to talk, probably not hockey, but many other things. His opinion on Italian-Americans and how they have contributed to the success of the United States of America right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I don't know what's happening on the show with the music, but it's been different, so I can appreciate it.
Man.
Do you know this song? Who is this?
Yeah.
I'm Chainsmokers.
Man, I used to mess, Mike, when we used to do the Fantasy Producers, whenever I would be on the board, I messed with Pete as absolute much as possible. Like, I wanted it to take him as long as possible to get back from a break. I was just talking to him.
Revenge is a dish best served terrible pop music. So either way, we have, I can't really hate on Miley and JT and whatever. So what, you know, different strokes for different folks. In any event, we have, see, I keep using that transitional phrase, but I have to stop. So we have Tony Cincotta coming up here. He's going to be on today from 3 to 6 with Joe Galina. He does the Weekend Fantasy Update. They will be covering the entire array of the sports world. Certainly, he'll be talking baseball. But Tony, I heard a read earlier this week, or a commercial earlier this week, where you were talking about the relatively muted contribution that Italian Americans have made to our society. I found that surprising, as you are an Italian American.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni, the coach of the Houston Rockets, trying to win an NBA title. Yeah,
that's what it was.
And the problem is, us Italians can't get anywhere in the United States. We've had a black president, and we've had a woman that almost was the president. Yet the Italians are stuck with the governor of New York. We can't get any higher than that. So I think it's a lot to ask Mike D'Antoni to win an NBA title. As America, you know, we've all, with different ethnic backgrounds, been oppressed. I feel like the Italians have been oppressed a lot more.
Well, Fiorello LaGuardia has an airport named after him in New York. That's pretty good.
Like I said, yeah, we do well in New York. Outside of that, it's all downhill.
That's a fair point.
D'Antoni didn't do that well in New York.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't do that well there. Yeah, see, I mean, it's hit or miss, even for us Italians in New York. I mean, what the hell is going on? I mean, Rocky Balboa has a statue in Philadelphia, and he's not even Italian. He's named Sylvester Stallone.
Man, he's a fictional person, too. Yeah. They have a statue of a fictional guy in Philly, and he's a city hero.
Anyway. Yeah, and I mean, The Sopranos, right? We get a TV show, we start whacking everybody, and it ends with one of the worst endings in the history of TV. I mean, it's
that was
crazy.
The cutoff point. I heard the Rockets refused to play any games on Sunday because D'Antoni's got Sunday dinner he can't miss.
That would actually be pretty good if we had – he went Sandy Koufax on the whole – on the NBA.
He lets his assistant handle the first round. Timberwolves, no big deal.
Oh, you know what? That's going to be a fun series to watch because you got a lot of good athletes in that series.
I'm with you. The whole – yeah, the Minnesota dynamic is interesting. Are they going to get rid of Thibodeau at the end of the year?
No. This is – you know what?
That's been a rumor.
People. I know, but I hate people. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time the Minnesota Timberwolves made the playoffs?
I mean, they're terrible. they've been terrible. And right. they finally have a coach that I like with three all-stars on it. And I don't know why you would screw that up now.
And they're bitching about winning now. What the hell? Is it too cold in Minnesota? I mean, what is wrong with you people? Yeah, Thibodeau will get a job in about 6 minutes if you fire him. So good luck.
He'll finally come to the Knicks where he should have been last time.
Oh.
If Thibodeau comes to the Knicks, Kristaps has like 3 years left. He will run him to the ground.
These are NBA players. They're athletes. They should be playing, and they should be playing 40 minutes a game. We got a bunch of pussies and a pussified nation running around now. You guys have made up your mind in Knicks land, and you're going to regret it. You got Jay Wright. Jay Wright at Villanova. You can't, he's never going to be. I wouldn't. It worked with the Celtics with Evans, so it's hard to say that. But you got to be kind of a scumbag to succeed in the NBA. Like, it's real dirty business, and
well,
sort of like
I
the
mean,
top.
Why
has no one hired Pitino yet?
College basketball too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, we did hire Pitino. The Celtics hired him, and then he left.
That was easy.
I mean,
it's
I could make an argument that you need to be a little rough around the edges in college.
Yeah, how's Villanova, that Catholic university, cheating? They're cheating somehow.
Don't ask too many questions, Tony. You might find the truth.
Yeah.
There's an answer there somewhere.
I tell people this all the time. Let's have common sense, people. Let's have common sense. If certain schools are paying the best players in college, why would they be going to Duke and Villanova for free? Come on. It's not happening.
It's difficult for me to argue outside of that, Tony. There's more schools that are going to be named, and I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I think the Bagman stuff has been going on forever. It's just a different vehicle now, whether it's, you know, unfortunately now it makes it a federal crime because they're committing wire fraud with public institutions. So it really ramps up the criminal component of this. I think some schools are clean, and I put that in quotes, because everybody's breaking a couple of rules here and there. Let's
NCAA
move over
the criminals.
Because they should let the people
benefit off their own name.
I don't know. We gotta have an hour show about that.
Yeah, that's like an hour show.
That's fair.
I don't disagree, but there's got to be rules to it, and how much the school gets. Like this, it's so complicated.
It's really easy to say that the NCAA sucks.
Yeah.
But it's entirely different kettle of fish to come up with a plan that would actually work.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. What
I mean, Jay Billis is constantly hammering the NCAA, and everything he says is right. But it's like, all right, so what do you want to do? How do you
want
to
blow
this up?
We bitch and we complain, and then the Title IX thing to try to balance that law with anything you do in these revenue sports make it almost impossible to do.
What if?
Agreed.
What if it was just an open market? What if Trae Young was allowed to just do whatever he want? Like, if you get to that level, you can do whatever they want. Because I don't know if the actual concept.
He would go to the league. He would just go to the league if he was allowed to do whatever he wants.
No.
He would go to college.
That's not my point. What I'm saying is they got to a point where in this season, when it was probably like seven games in, where Trae Young was clearly the biggest star in college basketball. Every game he played on ESPN, they had the score of the team, and then it had Trae Young's stat line. Like, it was that important because they knew that's the only reason that people were watching. It's not as if it's like, okay, we need to pay Trae Young $5,000, but it's like, what about the softball team? It's just Trae Young is allowed to take in whatever endorsements he wants. If he wants to do a commercial on Tuesday and then play against Oklahoma State on Wednesday, that's fine. If he wants to make money off autographs, it's fine. I think if you went open market, that might be able then to eliminate the whole question of it's like, well, how come the swimming team isn't getting paid? Because no one cares.
I think that's fair. But again, let me move on because that is a really huge topic. And I think you're right, but it's a huge topic and it's more than a 1 hour show. Tony, I got to ask you about Dez Bryant. I don't think anybody's surprised that this happened, but just thoughts about landing spots. There's a few teams with
There's only one.
Okay.
There's one that makes sense. He's probably going to go somewhere else. But if I'm Dez Bryant, I'm a guy with pride. And I'm a guy that, like, you know what? I'm not taking less money. I'm worth the $12.5 million you're going to pay me, or I'm gone. It's been nice, Jerry. But, Jerry, now I'm going to stick it in your butt, and I'm going to go to Houston Texans, and I'm going to go right down the street, and I'm going to play in a slot on an already great team, and I don't care what they pay me. And then you're going to watch me play in the postseason, Jerry. And I'm going to sit there, and I am going to be a thorn in your side for whatever I got left.
You want to know thoughts? You want to know what's interesting about
that? And
the
Rockets are going to play me out of the slot. And I am
by the way, they have $35 million in cap space.
Yeah, and I'm going to be Julian Edelman for the next 6 years.
You want to know?
So that receiving core, let me just set it up for you, Kev. That receiving core would be Dez, DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, Will Fuller on the outside, and then Dez in the slot. And, you know, they have nebulous tight ends. They don't really have a tight end to speak of there. So no. What do you think of that, Kevin?
Well, here's one of the things. I have a buddy who's a Cowboys fan who is strangely, like, furious that they weren't keeping Dez. Like, I thought it was kind of unanimous. They wanted him out. I don't know. Whatever. But he actually said, because he cares far too much about this, he's like, oh, the Texans are in play because they play them in the preseason and regular season. So that could check the I'll see you twice box. So it actually is there. And being down the road, it is also petty. If we wanted to go the super petty route, I threw this out on Twitter. Imagine he went to the Packers and then in a press conference was like, yeah, by the way, I never caught it. Packers got us clean.
Tony, thoughts?
I think it's too cold for a man from Texas and Oklahoma.
Fair.
I don't think he's impressed by the people with fudge on the head. I mean, I'm not fudge. Cheese on the head.
Jeez. How did you mess that up? How did you mess that
Tony's
up?
Tony's starving. That Tony is starving.
How did you mess that up that bad? Fudge heads? That would be so messy.
I was thinking of beach. I don't know.
So
here's a big beach community.
So here's their current wide receiving core: Terrence Williams, Allen Hurns, Cole Beasley,
sucks.
Ryan Switzer, Deontay Thompson, Noah Brown, Katie Ken, and Lance Lenoir.
Oh,
obviously,
gosh,
a couple of those guys will be cut, and you would imagine that they'll be drafting a rookie, if not in the first round, then shortly thereafter.
I don't see Dez Bryant in a Packers uniform.
Yeah. I like the Texans' call. It would be interesting to have him play in the slot. Would he feel comfortable doing that is another characterization altogether. His catch rate has been way down. 52% Dak to Dez was the lowest quarterback to wide receiver combo completion percentage in the entire league. So I don't think it's any shock that they moved on. So, Kev, you're furious, buddy, about the whole thing. You just got to look at the numbers. It didn't make sense.
It was very weird
to keep him. But Tony, I guess the only thing that's curious is, like, it doesn't really seem like they planned well around it.
No.
Like, the replacement is Allen Hurns and a rookie.
No, they got to be all in on Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, if they can get him.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be a draft day plan, I'm thinking here. They're going to do something. And based on the combine, Ridley's got some – people are speculative on him.
Tony.
Yeah, he's not a locked in, like, top five pick kind of guy. Not at all.
Tony, if they grab Calvin Ridley, and I know it's incredibly early. We don't even know where Dez will play. Let's just say, do you think that you'd be more inclined to take Calvin Ridley ahead of a Dez Bryant?
Oh, in a draft?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't think so, but it'll be close. It'll definitely be worth a discussion.
If they,
they're gonna I think you could put Dallas. I think you could pencil in Dallas for either 30, 31st, or 32nd in pass attempts next year.
Yeah.
And so I will not be high on any of their receivers, not just based on talent, but due to the lack of throws. They're just going to have less opportunities, Tony, no matter who it is.
I'm telling you right now, I'm thinking that team's going to be very, very poor. The offensive line is not played up to it. The salary cap's definitely got to them as far as the offensive line. I think this team is going the wrong direction. And eventually, he's going to have to hire a coach instead of a puppet.
I totally agree with you. I think Dallas is heading in the wrong direction. I don't know what their over-under is right now. I'm sure it changed. I'm sure people hammered the under last night, whatever it is set at, but I'm not liking that team at all. They still have defensive issues, and DeMarcus Lawrence's franchise tag didn't solve that at all. So we also talked about NBA playoffs, Tony. I know you mentioned the one series, but really curious, like, how you think see things playing out. Kevin has some real concerns about the Warriors here, although he expects them to make it to the Rockets series in a Western Conference Finals. Your thoughts about the Warriors maybe getting bumped out because of Steph Curry's health?
this is the worst San Antonio team I've ever seen. Mm. And this coach has done an amazing job, as he does each and every year, at making them relative. So I think the games are tight. I think Golden State wins it in five or six games. But it won't be a walkthrough as there. Like, these 8.5-point spread today, you can't take the Warriors in that game. You're going to have to take the San Antonio to cover that number. And I'm looking at this, and Popovich, I mean, they don't even know who their point guard is one night to the next. The San Antonio Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge has had a fine season. There's nothing else on this team.
I think it would really come down to the Warriors getting ahead of themselves, because they really do seem to do this all the time. And it always seems to be the Spurs who can kind of catch them, where they know how good they are. So I feel like it's going to be, I really do think the Spurs take one of the first two games, whether it be the Warriors assume victory in game one because they're like, oh, it's the playoffs, we turn it on, boom, they snap out of it, or they come out super fired up for game one, blow the Spurs out, and they're like, oh, okay, so game two will be easy, and then they drop that one. And that's kind of where the Spurs then have to protect home court. If they can steal it, they have to then take three and four, and then they have to close it out in six. That would be the formula. Because I do really think that they're going to be able to grab one of the first two, because the Warriors just, they constantly need wake-up calls, and they don't have as much of a luxury now as without Steph. I mean, in the games without Steph, they have a negative point differential.
I think they need wake-up calls in a regular season, but everybody knows the playoff starts today. And Quinn Cook has gotten better in the last month than when he first started.
Well, but Tony, remember last year when they started that series against the Spurs, and if Kawhi hadn't gone out, they would have got blown out that first game in the conference finals?
Yeah.
It was a much better Spurs team. I get that point. But it just, yeah. I feel like there are times where they rest on their laurels because they know how good they are.
I'll give you an instance. I would give New Orleans a shot to knock them off in the first round. I would not. I think if it was another team, yeah. I just think the Spurs team is by far the worst they've put out since Popovich been the coach.
I don't disagree.
Do you think Western Conference, it's Warriors, Rockets, collision course, Eastern Conference, Sixers, Cavs? Is that what you're looking at?
No. Jesus. Somehow the Cavs, the Cavs are not a good team, but LeBron is playing so well. Like, the one thing is, everybody talked about how well they played when they brought those new players over. They're still allowing so many points. And in the Sixers, they're a good team, but what do they do, against Toronto, a veteran team that's choked all the time? I don't think it's any lock that those two teams, it wouldn't shock me if Toronto is one of the teams there. If I'm going to bet on one team, I'll bet the Cavaliers reluctantly because, Jesus, and it's just because of one player.
Yeah, I wanted to give you one more topic, but maybe you were listening earlier. We talked about sort of the state of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
And how in the next year or two, there's about half the league is going to be planning to have a different quarterback in place, from Flacco to Roethlisberger, Breeze, Brady, due to age, to a lot of other guys. We have over-talked and overhyped this 2018 draft, but maybe it's because teams are worried about what their state of their quarterback will be come the end of the 2018 season.
I think there's at least six starting quarterbacks in the NFL that are 37 years of age today or more. So, yeah, it's absolutely going to be something that's going to change over. And those aren't the teams looking for quarterbacks, though. That's the funny part.
Yeah, except for they're not desperate right now. That's
yeah,
right.
It's possibly the Giants. I'll tell you what, the first one to change is that I think the Ravens are trying to hit something with Robert Griffin III, and I think they think that Joe Flacco might be the guy that's at the end of the line with those back injuries.
I think it's another team that is on the way down. Cowboys and Ravens are two teams that have had some success here in the last decade. The Cowboys are up and down, but I think the Ravens are – I think this whole thing's going to get blown up, and John Harbaugh would get a job in about 5 minutes, not dissimilar to your Thibodeau rant. So, good stuff. Good luck on the show today with Joe Gallina. You can catch Weekend Fantasy Update at 3 o'clock, 3 to 6. And Tony's on here every day, a variety of shows. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Mike Blewett. This has been Fantasy Sports Today. It's In This League next with Bogman and the Welsh. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Saturday.